share a burden for South Africa with you. If you have your Bibles, for just a few moments tonight, we're going to be in Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. You know, one question that I've dealt with personally, and I've dealt with as a youth pastor many times, is what is God's plan for my life? Working in youth ministry, it seems like that question would often come up because young people are thinking about their future. What is God's plan for my life? I hope that's a question that everyone is asking themselves. I hope that's something that we all want to know and that we all want to follow. I think sometimes we make the will of God a mystery when it ought not be, though. And we're going to see that tonight. I do know this, that plans sometimes change, don't they? I remember we had a pretty good-sized youth group at Southside, and we were trying to come up with an activity one day. My wife and I said, "We need something to do with these kids. Let's do an after a morning service, something easy. Let's go on a hike. What can go wrong with a hike, right?" And so we picked out a mountain that's near the church, about an hour drive or 45 minutes away, and a nice mountaintop view. And the plan was to get there, go to the top of the mountain, take some pictures, have a devotional, come back off the mountain, get ice cream, and go to church that night. What can go wrong with that plan? And so we get to the hike, and we get off the bus, and I say, "Hey guys, make sure you leave your phones behind. We don't want to lose any phones on this trail. I'll take pictures if you want pictures, and so let's all stay together and let's go and have fun." And the first 5 minutes, Pastor, I lost three boys. They just started running. I'm like, "Why did y'all do that?" I don't know. They're boys. Well, we've got the bulk of our group with us though, and we'll catch up to them. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? We're all on the same trail. So we keep going, and there's a tree that's over this gully. And kids are walking off the tree. There's about a 20-foot drop under. I said, "Guys, don't walk across the tree. You might fall and break a leg or something, and I don't want to have to deal with that." And, we passed that tree, and 5 minutes later, one of the kids comes to me and says, "Hey, Pastor Tim, I lost my phone." I said, "Well, where'd you lose your phone?" He says, "You remember that tree that you told us not to walk across?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I was walking across that tree, and I dropped my phone." So we went back trying to find his phone. Couldn't find it. But now I'm in the back of the group, fully separated from the rest of the group. Long story short, we all get separated, get off the trail, and here we are climbing up the side of this mountain. And now I'm thinking, I might lose a kid today. Like, that's the number one rule in youth ministry, don't lose a kid. I'm like, I'm about to lose a kid. So the plans immediately changed. I had cell service, and I called one of the young adults that came with me. I said, "Hey, find all the kids you can. Come back off the mountain." And so they came off the mountain, and we all met up. But I thought that story that day was kind of a picture of life. We had a plan. The plans changed. And that's true with all of us. We have plans for our lives, but plans change sometimes. Now, I don't know everything about how God works. I don't know all of the intricacies of God. I can't give you an exhaustive list of characteristics of God's plan, but I do know a few things about God's plan for our lives. Number one, I know this, that God made us. That's pretty simple truth, isn't it? Something that Lubabalo learned from a missionary. God made us. The Bible says in Psalm 139, David writes this, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Listen, God made me. He is my creator, and he knows what's best for me. We've got to know that, and we've got to believe that. What's something else, another simple truth? Well, we know this, that he has a plan for every one of us. My pastor often says this, he didn't save anybody to sit soaking sour on a pew. My pastor says that probably almost every sermon he preaches. But it's true. I like what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 1:5. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God speaking to Jeremiah. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Listen, I'm not saying that God has made all of us a prophet as Jeremiah was, but I will say this, the same truth for Jeremiah, God had a plan for his life, is true for all of us. God has a plan for each of our lives. A special plan, a unique plan. He's got a job for us. He's got a people for us to reach. And finally, we must understand this, that God's ways are higher than our ways. I will never fully understand everything that's happened in life. I won't always understand why tragic things happen to good people. I won't always understand why good things happen to bad people. I don't always understand why some people get sick and some people don't, and why some people get healed and why some people don't. I don't always understand these things. But God's ways are higher than our ways. The Bible says this in Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There are times in our life where we can just trust Him even when things don't make sense. With those simple truths in mind, I want to read in Acts chapter number 16 a few verses, and we'll open up in prayer. And we'll examine Paul's life and how God worked in the life of Paul. And I think we can draw some truths from his life and apply them to our own. And so let's start reading Acts chapter number... Actually, I'll tell you what, let's start reading verse 40 of Acts chapter number 15. And we'll read on down to verse 10 of Acts chapter number 16. It says, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe," Acts 16:1, "and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. How would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. In verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Let's open up in prayer. Lord God, we love you so much, and we're thankful for an opportunity, God, tonight to gather around your word. Thankful for your goodness, God. Thankful for your care for us. Thankful for your love for us, God. Thankful for Jesus. And I'm thankful for your word that's changed my life. Thankful for salvation that you've made available to all of us, God, who've heard the gospel, and that we can be saved by not what we do, but by trusting you. Lord, tonight I pray that you would stir hearts, that you would compel us, God, to follow you, to live a yielded life to you. Pray, God, that you would speak to hearts. And I don't know anyone's heart tonight, Lord. There might be somebody here that's never been saved. Lord, tonight, would you deal with that heart and stir that heart so that they could trust you as Lord and Savior? Lord, we love you. We're thankful for all the blessings. Pray that you would preach through us, God, your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love this account of the Apostle Paul's life. And if we went back to Acts chapter number 15, we would see kind of the beginning of this plan. He and Barnabas, their first mission trip, had went throughout the regions of southern Galatia, or southern Asia in Galatia, and they saw many souls saved. They started some churches along the way, and after the trip was over, they came back home and reported to the church, and after a time, they decided to take
trip number two. And if you remember, Barnabas was with Paul and his family, Mark. John Mark was on that trip. And the first go around, and Barnabas says, "Well, that's great, Paul. I'm ready to go back on another trip, but let's bring John Mark." And Paul says, "John Mark's not coming with us. He quit on us, and he can't be relied upon." And the Bible says the dissension was so sharp between them that they decided to split paths. And I like how the Bible doesn't say that they ran each other in the muck and they gave up on God. No, they continued serving God, and the Lord actually expanded the ministry as a result of this disagreement. Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul would take Silas. And the plan was to go back and check on the churches that had been established and to preach the gospel to people that had never heard. And so Paul had a plan that he wanted to go into Asia. I mean, I think all of us could get behind a plan to take the gospel to places that's never heard the gospel. Paul wanted to go to Asia. Lord, they need the gospel in Asia. When we talk about Asia, we're talking about Asia Minor, the region of Turkey that we would call today. But notice what the Lord does, or how the Lord responds to this plan that Paul made. In verse number 6, it says this: they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that might have been a confusing response from God. I might not have understood that. I mean, I just imagine maybe the thought process that went through Paul's mind, and we know that Paul was called by God to be a missionary. We know that Acts chapter 9, he was saved, and God said, "Listen, I want you to take the gospel to the Jews and Gentiles." And that was the plan for Paul's life. And so Paul is trying to follow the leadership from God that's already been shown in his life. Paul is trying to live a righteous life and do what God's called him to do, but God said no. What if he thought, "Silas, this doesn't make sense. I mean, this is a good plan." But God said no. And so the Bible says that in the next verse, verse number 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. Bithynia would be in the same region of Asia. If you could imagine this, this projector screen was that region of Asia Minor. That Galatia that he was starting off was on the bottom. Bithynia is up in the northern region. And I wonder if Paul thought within himself, "Well, maybe the Lord wants us just to go north, but still we need to stay in Asia because I know the people of Asia need Jesus." But God said no. And I think the first thing we learn from this account is sometimes God's plan is different than our plan. Listen, sometimes God's plan is different than our good plans. I think what we learn in this passage is the right response when the plans change. You see, there's many different kinds of responses. We know this. This isn't some hard truth to understand. We know there are a few different responses to God by individuals when the plans change. Listen, and plans change all the time. It could be a health issue that comes up in a family, or it could be bad news. There could be issues at work. There could be a whole variety of changes that could take place in our lives. Many times I've seen when the plans change for people, when God doesn't open a door that people want to be open, sometimes people get mad at God. They get bitter at God and they give up on God. Sometimes when the plans change, people say, "You know what? Even though there's not an open door, I'm still going to force my will through. I'm going to ignore the leadership of God and I'm going to go my own way." I think we see that all the time, especially in our American churches, that God has clearly given us His truth. He's clearly given us a lamp under our feet, but there are people that are going their own way. How many times, church, do people come up with a plan for their lives and they just expect God to get in the passenger seat and bless them along the way? Sometimes people get mad at God. Sometimes people reject His leadership and go their own way regardless. Notice what happens in Paul's life, though. It says in verse 9 that a vision appeared to Paul in the night that tells me that Paul was continuing to seek the face of God. God made it clear in Paul's life that the plan of Asia was a no-go, and Paul was sensitive to the leadership of God, and he trusted God. I believe what Paul did was live out that common proverb that all of us can recite right now. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I believe with all my heart that Paul is the living example in this passage of trust God, even when things don't make sense. And things happen in our lives all the time that we don't like and that don't make sense to us. And the right response is to cling to God and trust Him in those times. We trust Him. Paul trusted God. Paul continued seeking after the face of God. And I like Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Paul allowed the Lord to direct his steps. And he saw that famous Macedonian call that probably every missionary that comes through talks about. The Macedonian call. Paul saw the vision in the night. And notice Paul's response. It says, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Listen, this might have been, I don't know what Paul thought, but for me, going to a country that I've never gone to, that might be a little bit intimidating. That might cause me to feel a little bit nervous, and I might be a little bit reluctant. And how many times, church, does God lead us to do things that are outside of our comfort zone? Listen, you and I like to be comfortable. We don't like to be in a place that makes us feel a little weird, a little awkward. We don't like to talk to people we don't know oftentimes. We don't like to witness to people oftentimes because it's an awkward, uncomfortable conversation. Many times we're not willing to make sacrifices that are necessary to follow God wherever He might lead. But listen, the right response is to immediately, when we know God's will in our life, immediately do what He's called us to do. Because the times in our life when we don't do what He's called us to do, I think many times are because we drag our feet. Paul immediately followed God. Number two, what do we learn about God's leadership in our lives, God's plan for our lives? First thing we said was God's plan's not always the same as our plans. God's plan might be different than the good plans we have for our life. Number two, we learn this, that God is always leading people to Himself. His plan for your life and His plan for my life and His plan for the world is to lead people to Himself. And we see that immediately as Paul arrives in Macedonia here in Philippi. We'll start reading in verse 11. The Bible says this, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia and the next day Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things were spoken by Paul. What does Paul see and the team see as they go into Philippi? Well, they come upon a prayer meeting. They come upon a group of people that are seeking God. They're seeking light and they just don't know Jesus. And God allowed Paul to preach the gospel to these ladies. And what does the Bible say? They got saved. Hey, it changed their life. It changed their eternity. Not only did they get saved, but the Bible says that Lydia's whole household will hear the gospel and they'll be saved and they'll be baptized. I mean, I don't know about you, church, but for me, if I took this step of faith and if I followed God to a place that I didn't know, just trusting His leadership, and if someone immediately got saved or multiple people immediately got saved, that would fire me up a little bit. I'd be pretty excited about that. And I wonder if Paul and Silas thought, well, we understand now what God's doing. I mean, he had Lydia in mind. Listen, God was always leading people to Himself. If Lydia could stand before us tonight and share her testimony, she might say something like this: I praise God that there was a man of God that was willing to say yes to God even when the plans changed in his life. It changed her life forever. I love that. That the story doesn't stop with Lydia and her household and her family. We continue reading, and down in verse number 16 it says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." We know this story. The little demon-possessed damsel, as they're walking through the city, follows around the team, declaring that they're servants of the Most High God. Now, first you can say, well, that's not a bad thing to declare they're servants of the Most High God. Listen, anytime we mix demonic influence with the things of God, it's going to cause confusion. And that's what Satan was trying to do. The Bible says this young demon-possessed damsel was basically a slave and was being used for a profit from her masters. And no doubt this little demon-possessed damsel had no hope, and she had no family, and her life was miserable, and her life was completely void of the gospel light. But Paul cast the demon out in the name of Jesus. Heals by the power of God this little damsel. And the Bible doesn't say this, and so I'm not trying to put words in the scripture, but I believe this young damsel got saved. I think she heard the gospel. I think she got saved. That's what I think. And I imagine if that little damsel could stand before us tonight, she would probably testify the same way Lydia might testify, that I praise God that there was a man of God willing to say yes to God even when things changed in his life. It made a difference. It changed things for her. God was always leading people to himself. The story goes on, and her masters are upset that she's now healed of this demon possession, and they have no hope for gain, and they have Paul and Silas arrested, and remember, they're thrown into the prison, and they've got the shackles on, they've got the stocks on, and they have no freedom in the eyes of the jailer. They've been beaten, and they've been mocked, and they've been ridiculed. And now Paul and Silas, not because they did something wrong, but because they did something right, they're arrested. The Bible says that about midnight, they were praising God. Amen. It's hard to praise God in a valley, isn't it? It's hard to praise God when things aren't going our way. But what we learn in this account of Paul's life is it is in that very moment when life is not going our way and when we're in a valley, it's in that very moment that when we praise God and we maintain our faith in God, that God will work through us and will preach the gospel to people that are watching. That's what happened in this story. The jailer hears them praising God all night long. And we know this account, the earthquake happens, the shackles are loose, the door flies open, the jailer sees what happened, and he suspects that all the prisoners are escaped. He suspects that he might as well kill himself because he's responsible for all of the prisoners. And Paul and Silas stop him, though. It says in verse number 27, the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas in verse 30 and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And I love the response. Verse 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Listen, that's why we're going to Africa. That same question, what must I do to be saved? He got saved. Changed his life. The Bible goes on to say that his whole household is going to get saved. They're all going to be baptized. Listen, this is the start of the Philippian church right here in this very chapter. And if that jailer could testify tonight, he might say the same thing as the damsel and the same thing as Lydia, that he praises God that there were men of God that were willing to be obedient to God even when the plans changed. Because the truth is this, church, God's plan is always leading people to himself. And I believe when we lose sight of souls, when we lose sight of the lost, we are beginning to drift from God's plan for our lives. Listen, the lost are in our backyard. We've got family that's lost. We've got neighbors that are lost. We pass lost souls at the gas station, at the store. They're all around us, and they all need to hear about Jesus. The Bible says, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus' ultimate plan for coming to this world was to save souls. He's always leading people to himself. Number three, what do we learn about God's plan for our lives? Well, number one, we said God's plan might be different than our plan. Number two, God's plan is always leading people to himself. I should be constantly drawing closer to God. If I'm not, I'm drifting. I should have a desire to see others saved. If I don't, I'm drifting. And number three, what do we see is that God's plan isn't always easy. It's not always easy. It may come with sacrifices. God's plan for our life may require us to get out of our comfort zone. Listen, God's plan for our lives may require us to change zip codes. God's plan for our lives may require a sacrifice. I like what Jesus says in Luke 14. He talks a little bit about this sacrifice. He says in Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth not the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. What does Jesus say? If we're truly going to follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as our Lord and Savior, we will naturally have to sacrifice some things in our life. And it might not be easy. Paul could talk a little bit about hardship and sacrifice. If we read 2 Corinthians 11, we hear his story about how he was beaten and he was shipwrecked and he was robbed and he was left for dead and he was whipped with the cat of nine tails. Hey, listen, Paul could talk about a sacrifice. In Philippians chapter 3, he talks a little bit about his background, about how he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the scribe, a Pharisee. He talked about all of his good works and he talks about leaving the accomplishments of this world behind and following Jesus. He talks a little bit about sacrifice. He says this in Philippians 3, but what things were gain to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Listen, Paul could say with certainty that if you will yield your life to Christ, there might be times in your life when you have to sacrifice and you go through hard times. But he continues saying this, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Listen, what would Paul testify to in this life of following God, fully yielded to him, although it might be difficult, it's always worth it. Nothing compares to a life lived for Jesus. Nothing compares to a yielded life to Christ. Nothing can compete with the blessings that come from God as we follow him. It's not always easy, though. But fourthly, I want to get to this wonderful truth. So simple. That God's plan is far greater than anything we could come up with. God's plan for our lives is far greater than anything that we could come up with. Listen, Paul had, we talked about his good plan of taking the gospel to Asia. What Paul didn't know was how he would be received in Philippi. What Paul didn't know was that Lydia and her household would get saved, and that the damsel would get saved, and that the jailer and his home household would get saved. Paul had no idea what God was going to do, and the only way he realized that was through obedience. He had no idea. Paul had no idea that this initial trip would be the start of the Philippian church. I like how he starts the epistle to the Philippians. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be to you, and God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what's so special about that opening verse of Philippians chapter 1? Paul addresses all the saints. That means a lot of people got saved. He addresses the bishops and deacons. That means there are men of God that are yielding their life to serving God. Paul had no idea what God was going to do, what amazing things God was going to do in Philippi. Paul had no idea that some 2,000 years later, we would be in missions conferences here in the United States preaching and talking about this Philippian church as the model church for faith, promise, missions, giving. Hey, read 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and you'll see how this Philippian church became a giving church, and they even gave out of their poverty. He had no idea what God was going to do there. Paul had no idea that when he was locked up in prison, that this Philippian church would faithfully pray for him and even send gifts and people to check on him. He had no idea. And he would have robbed himself of those blessings if he would have gone his own way. And I wonder how many times, church, you and I are guilty of rejecting the leadership of God and going our own way. And every time we do that, we're robbing ourselves of what God was going to do. You say, well, what about Asia, though? I mean, doesn't it seem like that Asia got the short end of the stick? Sure, Europe got new churches. The Philippians now have gospel-preaching churches. Good for them. But you say, well, what about Asia? Because that was where Paul was originally wanting to go. And it seems like, hey, Asia got left out. But, well, if you have your Bible still open, flip over just a page or two, Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19, Paul has been given the unique opportunity of spending an unusual amount of time in one place. He spent over 2 years in a city called Ephesus, which is in Asia. And there Paul was able to preach the gospel and try to reach the Jews and preach to the Gentiles. It says in verse number 8 of Acts chapter 19, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And look at verse number 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Notice that. In Acts chapter number 16, Paul had a desire to go to Asia and preach the gospel. That's a good plan. That's a good plan, Paul. But God said no. And Paul just trusted him. The plan changed. And he just trusted him. And the plans are going to change in our life. We need to trust him. And what Paul would learn is that he had a good plan, but God had a great plan. Paul had a vision for the people of Asia. God had a vision for the people of Macedonia. Listen, and the Bible says that all they, and I believe when the Bible says all, church, I think it means all. I think God was pretty clear when he said all. I think every single person in Asia heard the gospel. And I'll tell you, I have dreams of South Africa. And it seems like a remarkable dream to have that every single person in South Africa will hear the gospel. That's the goal. The goal is that the whole world will hear the gospel. But sometimes it's hard to really accept these dreams that an entire country would hear the gospel. Although that is the Great Commission. That's the plan. Listen, all they which dwelt in Asia heard the gospel. Paul learned that he had a good plan, but God had a great plan. And he was only able to experience God's great plan for his life by simple obedience. A young man asked me a few months ago, I was at a church in North Carolina, in Hickory. He came up to me after the service and he said, how do I know what God wants for my life? He was thinking about missions. How do I know what to do with his life? How do I know? And this is what I told him. When I was 15, I had no idea where I was going to be when I was 40. But I was able to find God's plan for my life by being obedient with my daily walk. You see, I think that God's plan for our life is a mystical thing that we have to find. I think as we are willing to trust Him day by day, trust His leadership day by day, obey Him day by day, walk with Him day by day, I think one day we'll look back and we'll say, my goodness, look at what God did with my life. Look at how good God's been to me. The truth is, though, so many times, I don't know about you, so many times we wonder, God, what are you going to do? And we want, you ever put a jigsaw puzzle together? You said, I don't know about you, but I set the box top up because I want to know what the puzzle is going to look like, so I can put it together. The truth, church, is we don't get a box top for our life. We don't know how every single piece and plan of our life was going to fit together. We don't know what God is doing, but one day when we see it come together, we'll say, my goodness, what a great plan God had for us. You see, I believe that so many times we allow good things to keep us from the best things. And as I heard a pastor say one time, a good thing becomes a bad thing when it keeps us from the best things. You see, Paul realized God's plan for his life as he was willing to trust Him with his daily walk. And so in closing, the question is this: number one, have we begun to trust God with our life? What's the first plan? The first plan, he says in 1 Timothy 2:4, is that all men would be saved. I pray that you've trusted Christ tonight with your life. That you're not relying on church attendance, that you're not relying on that you were baptized some time ago, that you're not relying on being a good person. I pray that you've come to a point in your life when you recognize that you were lost and that you had no hope and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And the second plan, he's also made it pretty clear, that's the Great Commission, to preach the gospel to every creature. I wonder, are we faithfully sharing the gospel, using whatever talents God has given us for His name's honor and glory? I pray that we're all trusting God and following His plan for our life. Pastor.
Amen. I appreciate that tonight. What a blessing. I needed to hear that. That's a good reminder. Tell you what, just every